you. All right. Amen. If you come from a non-liturgical background, that right there gets everybody's attention. The Lord be with you. Everybody says, and also with you. Instead of saying, hey, can I have your attention? So you might want to take that back with you. Huh? Like, what? What does that mean? Hey, you shut up. That'll do it. That'll get them every time. Okay, we're going to do just a little teaching here on dealing with demonic spirits, you know. Again, you know, gosh, we're not going to, can't learn it all in one little session. But we want to leave some time for some questions and answers also. And this is one thing Betty Brennan taught us, you know, just kind of put them into, and it helps me, could kind of lump them into categories, you know, because we know we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We all believe in demonic spirits are out there, and we all believe that they can harass and be on a Christian, you know, whether they're on or around, that doesn't matter, right? We just want to get them off. It don't matter how we got there, let's just get them off. So let's just say the first realm area that they may harass or mess with a person is just a ministering spirit. That means you're just going along your day, and all of a sudden, out of the blue, you get hit by a demonic spirit. Like, you know, all of a sudden, I'm just having a good day, and I'm just oppressed all of a sudden, you know. Or, you know, I was having a good time, all of a sudden, man, I just got hit out of the blue with this. Most of the time, that's just a ministering spirit, you know, warfare. You want to call it that. Those are easy to take care of. You just get somebody to pray for you. Take authority over that thing, you know, send it to the feet of Jesus or whatever. We all do that, right? So those are just ministering spirits. We, you know, that's just part of our daily life. Or we're going through something, having a hard time, then somebody discerns, hey, this is really demonic. And we prayed for somebody this week, I can't remember, and they were having a hard time paying attention, stuff like that. And as they walked up, the Lord just said, it's demonic. Take authority over it, you know? We did, then they could pay attention. Just demonic, okay? So, a ministering spirit is one that'll just, in your daily life, will just hit you out of the blue and just get somebody to pray for you. Or sometimes you can take authority over it once you recognize it, right? You would think after all this time, years of walking with the Lord, we would recognize that, but we just don't, right? Why am I feeling this way? I'm so depressed today. What's wrong with me, God? Evidently, I've done something, right? Then we get introspective and guilty, and well, maybe it's just me that does that, right? Y'all do that too, and but it's just a ministering spirit, and I've several occasions just taken authority over it myself, and oh man, in Jesus' name, and then you all of a sudden feel a lot better, right? Then you know it's a ministering spirit. All right. Again, as you're learning to pray for people for deliverance. A real important thing, you know, we had hands laid on us. Bishop Betty Brennan, you know, he laid on me for the gift of discernment of spirits. That's a really important thing. So then you'll know whether what you're dealing with, whether it's demonic or whether it's just coming out of their soul, you know, or it's just their flesh. I remember one time years ago, we had some visitors and they're all up here at the altar round. Somebody was praying for them. This lady hit the floor and was flopping like a fish out of water, you know, rolling around, and everybody's eyes were real big, like, what are we going to do? So I went over there, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, it's not demonic. It's her flesh, you know. So pray for her. Call forth her new creation. I knew it was God because he was telling me this. I would never fall to do that, you know. Call forth her new creation. So I did. I just laid hands, whispered in her ear, I'll call forth your new creation. And she just settled down. I mean, it wasn't nothing to me. It was the Lord, the gift of the Holy Spirit released, discernment of spirit. So I would know exactly what I was dealing with. Early on, when we were all ministering to each other, you know, I'm just happy that we didn't get put in jail. Because everybody that came to see us, you know, I know we did. Every negative emotion was a demonic spirit. Well, I've been worrying about what? Demon of worry, you know. Keep going. about this situation, and I've been upset. Demon of upset, write it down. And we would have a list of about, 75 demons that this person had, which really discouraged them. Like, I just came in here to get ministry. I've got 75 demons. And then we'd go after them, buddy. Well, the truth is, maybe they just had two. But, buddy, we were doing some swatting, And if we swat 75 times and kill two of them, we did it, right? You try to kill, like killing a fly in your house, you may keep having to swat and swat and swat, and you finally get it, right? So that's how our deliverance ministry went. Then we learned if we did inner healing first, it wasn't so hard, especially on that person, Well, I think we enjoyed watching them contort and all that kind of stuff. I didn't know a person could bend like that. That's amazing. God had mercy on this. Yes, they are. Oh, my gosh. And the next category, and Betty always called in this, is cardinal spirits. Cardinal, like a bird, cardinal. Coming from the seven cardinal sins in Proverbs chapter 6. Okay? Meaning that those demonic spirits are there because of a habitual sin in that person's life, So if they're dealing with something, an addiction or lust or whatever, and they've just been given into this sin, they're problemary, then sometimes a demonic spirit can attach itself to that through just over and over again of giving into this certain situation, okay? And again, if you have that, it's imperative to bring that person to a point of repentance of that thing. Like Father Aaron had the question the other day about, what Jesus said, if you cast a spirit out, and then he comes back, he'll bring seven others with him. But in the Greek it says, if they come and find a welcome mat, right? That's what it means. That person hadn't repented. So if I'm ministering to a person, And I discerned something, the other day I was praying for a guy, and I've discerned something on him, and it's because he'd been given into a certain area, and I said, there's a demonic spirit of this particular thing. I said, dude, I'll pray for you, but I'm not going to pray for you unless you repent of this. And I mean, when I mean repent, I'm not saying I'm sorry, but I mean you're going to turn from this, and you're going to walk away from it. I'll pray for you, because I think we can take authority over this. Now, he was ready, But if I know they're not ready, I could do maybe a binding prayer over them, but I'm not going to try to cast the thing out because I'll just do them harm, Then they're going to really get their lunch to eat. Also, what? Six. I can get you in the neighborhood, but I can't tell you the house number, so I don't know the verse. Yeah. So, within this, of spirits attaching themselves, trauma. The trauma we experienced yesterday, or the post-traumatic stress. That's a trauma, right? Childhood traumas that people go through. Various traumas. It could be accidents, or it could be where there's been incest or rape, anything like that. Traumatic experiences usually almost all the time. When you say 85%, Bishop, that's what you're telling me? Is because of trauma. Did y'all hear that? 80-85% of all demonic activity in a person's life is because of trauma. Some traumatic event that happened in their life, And it doesn't have to be real major stuff, different events, divorce and different things. That's a traumatic event for a child, right? Where they blame themselves, and the demonic spirit can really attach itself to that. So traumatic things, again, that's probably a very accurate number. So these are things through habitual sin or familial, which means the word from family, where there's things passed down in your family. And I remember one time, you ever heard the term transference? Where there can be a transference thing? This guy was a friend of mine, and his father died. Now he's a little bit older than me, but after his father died, there was such a change in him. I mean, he became a different person. And, you know, really liked coming here, really loved our worship and everything. And after his father died, he just became a total different person. Didn't like it anymore. Just, you know. And the Lord spoke a word to me and said there was a transference there. A familial spirit in the family. When that person died, it just stayed in the family. So those are those. So, you know, demons are legalist, right? Which means they have a legal right. And what you do with these, you take away their legal right to be there. Jesus is Lord, right? And they're nothing to Him. But you have to remove that legal right. And so what we're going to do tonight, the generational Eucharist, you know, we learned years ago when you apply the finished work of Jesus to that area in your family, you know. And people always say, you know, because I'm really German. My dad's like 100% German. My mother's German. And so when we would do, people would do prayer for me, they say, we need to go back to your German ancestry, you know. But I always think, well, what about before that, you know, that came to the Germans? Because, you know, I'm a history major, so that's the way I thought. I want something that goes back before that. What about before them, you know? The cool thing, the blood of Jesus goes back to Adam. And so when you apply that thing, that generational thing, to the blood of Jesus, the finished work of the cross, it takes care of it. That made me feel better. All right, cool. We're going to go all the way back to Adam and anything passed down to me. And I remember the Lord really opened my eyes to this, you know, something that I got set free and delivered from that had been kind of harassing me most of my life. And when we got the name and everything, it had been something the Lord kind of revealed. It had been in my family since the 1600s, you know. So they can stay in there a long time. So that's a way, another way, just a familial spirit, especially when you see areas like a person who's suicidal, depression, different things like that, where there's been in the family. We always ask the person, what about your family? And, oh, yeah, my mother was this way or my dad was this way. Various mental illnesses, you know. You can see where there's something familial about that. So you have to take authority over that thing, you know. Eucharist is the best way to do it. Just bring it under the blood of Jesus, you know, sword of the Spirit, cut, wax, swat, it'll go. But you got to take away that legal right. You follow me? Somehow they've got a deed in their hand, you know. I'm in the Bounds family, and I have a legal right to be here because great-great-grandmother did this certain thing, and that's where I'm in, okay? We're going to take care of that. Amen? And also, another one, where a demonic spirit can attach itself, we all know that. It's just through curses, people, you know. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. I remember years ago, I went through a couple of days and I just couldn't breathe really good. I mean, I was having a hard time breathing, you know. I was like, oh man, this is... So I went to the bishop and he was going to pray for me. And he said, someone's put a death curse on you. Someone's that wished that you were dead, you know. I knew who it was, but I can't say that. However, he prayed for me and it left. I thought, that's really weird. Cool, but weird. You know what I mean? That curse released a demonic spirit on me. And so we broke that curse. So, you know, we don't need to be legalistic about it. That's not what I'm saying. But you know, a person can curse you. You know, we've had people curse this church and... a whole group of a witch coven, the most powerful witch coven in the United States, cursed this church and Bishop Chuck one time. We had to break it. That was a pretty big deal. You know, well, we went to war and did battle and had it broken and everything. So that can happen. And so when you do family mottos, we do that, you know, word curses, you know, you're lazy, you never amount to anything, you're ugly, you're fat, you know. I'm ashamed of you. Curse. And a demonic spirit can attach itself to that. Right? So we're going to break those things off of people. You know, get them off. You know, go back. The source, you may not know the source. But anyway, again, the blood of Jesus. You know, you can take care of that thing. All right. Another area when you have to deal with it a little bit differently is when you have... occultic spirits, you know, witchcraft and different things like that. When a person's actually either, you know, there's been maybe some satanic ritual abuse, or there's been some prayers in the womb. You know, we've encountered that. And one thing you do with those is, for some reason, we know the reason, a lot of times in the occult and witchcraft, when they pray things, they do it in mockery of the Trinity. And they do it three times. So when we're praying, if we know a person's been involved in the occult, or there's been some kind of prayers prayed on them, there's like a demonic seal over them, you know. And you have to go in and break that demonic seal. In Jesus' name, I break this demonic seal, you know, over Lily, and blood, go to town with that. And you need to do it three times. You don't say it, I break this demonic seal in three times. No, say it three times. In Jesus' name, I break every demonic seal. We were over in, ministering over in Africa to the Maasai. A lot of witchcraft in there. And that's the bishop told us, look, everybody you pray for, before you pray for healing or anything, break any kind of demonic seal over them. And we started doing that. We just started to see the power of God really released. Because most all of them had been to a witch doctor. You know, as babies or whatever. There'd been, you know, things spoken over them, curses put on them. So we just went in there and broke that.
Do you have to do it by name, what the specific seal is?
Not really. We just said we just use demonic seal.
Okay.
You know, we break.
If you're doing demonic stuff and you just can't seem to get anywhere, so it's always a demonic seal because they get involved in cult, or when they were in their mother's womb, their mother or father committed them to the thing.
Right. So you go, we go after that. And too, while I'm thinking of it, when you're dealing with something demonic, if you do this, if you bind it in Jesus' name, I bind any spirit, not of the Holy Spirit, off of their emotional, physical, and spiritual being. And you do that three times, just in case there's been some occultic involvement. In Jesus' name, I break any spirit, not of the Holy Spirit, off of their emotional, physical, spiritual being. And you do that three times, and they're still kind of manifesting. It's not demonic. You can kind of narrow it down. You know? I think what you're dealing with is their flesh. Betty taught us that. You know? If we do that in ministry, and you bind it, and it's still acting goofy, then that's them. I remember one day, we used to have our offices over here, and they were having some kind of people asked if they could use our church. They was having this lady come in to speak, and they're over here, you know, having a good old charismatic whooping hollering time. And I just happened to walk over and check on things, and they had this guy on the floor, and they were coming against the spirit of witchcraft. And he was just rolling, growling, carrying on, you know. And I walked up, and then the Lord spoke to me, it's not demonic. By them saying that word, witchcraft, he started doing it. I'm like, what would a demon of witchcraft sound like, you know? And so he started growling and doing all this kind of stuff. So I just knelt down, got in his ear, and prayed for him, said, it's okay, it's gone. And he settled down like that. So the binding prayer, then you know, I was doing the binding prayer, so I would know for sure. And then the Holy Spirit said, that's not what they're saying it is. So that's always a good one, you know. And sometimes you deal with broken people, emotionally broken, and when you say stuff, they're just going to start, you know, doing all the kind of stuff they see on TV. And not that demonic stuff can't do stuff you see on TV. I've seen them do stuff like you see on TV. You know, we've seen a lot of stuff. And early on, the Lord pulled back the hedge so we could see, you know. And I was like Barney Fife trying to do it. I mean, I was just the most cowardly person you could ever throw in a session like that. I wasn't like, oh yeah, I can't wait to see. I'm like, I want to get out of here. You know?
So.
Yeah, she said me and Chuck. We weren't, were we, Bishop? We were two of the most bravest men you've ever seen in your life. Give us another demon. But they are intimidators, too. You always know that. They're always trying to intimidate you. And usually the bigger the demonic spirit is, the more they stay hidden. And they will sacrifice, believe it or not, they will sacrifice a lesser demon to stay hidden. The bigger they are, the more they stay hidden. I remember praying for a guy one time, and it was our fifth or sixth meeting. And I thought I'd pretty much gotten everything. And as I'm talking to him, all of a sudden his face just like, I can't explain it, just kind of contorted. And he was, and I knew it wasn't him looking at me, you know. And I thought, oh my goodness, how did I miss that? And the Lord brought it back. Yeah, you can miss it because it's tried to stay hidden from you the whole time. So I got to, and the Lord just told me what it was involved. He had actually been involved in someone having an abortion. You know, three different times. I thought, Lord, you know. So you can minister to somebody a lot, and then all of a sudden you see something. And, well, it's just staying hidden because it's big. You know, we got all the little ones. You know, the big ones are casting the little ones out there. You know, if you ever hunt, you know, we do a lot of deer hunting here, and in the rut season when you're waiting to shoot the buck will send the doe out in the field first. You know, before he comes out in that field. You know, that's good of him. It's like a man sacrificing his wife, you know. No, honey, you go first, you know. I'm going to stay back here and protect you. You walk out there, you know. And they'll do that. You know, they actually will. Yeah, that's right. So in this area, you know, when you're dealing with cultic experience, you know, because a lot of times rebellion, you know, insanity, person who's dealing with issues of insanity can really be tied into witchcraft. You know, most everyone who's in an insane asylum, really, if you go back in their family, there's some kind of witchcraft there. You know, the Masonic or Eastern something, you know, in there. Let's see if I missed anything. What time is it? I want to give us time. Well, you want to come up, Bishop, for question and answers? It's about 10 after, so we'll do about 15 minutes, 20 minutes. Sure. What is of the flesh and of the soul? Right. That's where discernment of spirits really comes in. The Holy Spirit gifts, because it really does take the Holy Spirit when you're dealing with someone. Because one, okay, it's not demonic. Now I got to figure out whether it's coming out of their soul, their broken soul, or whether it's just coming out of their flesh. I would say the majority of time is coming out of their soul, their broken soul. And it's a lot of times, even with dealing with a demonic, once you have the demonic bound, the soul and the demonic thing can be really intertwined. And so you have to be really, once you're ministering to them, it's like you got to do, you know, you got to untwist the demonic from the soul as you're bringing healing to them, repentance, all that kind of stuff. But mainly you're dealing with their broken soul, you know, I would say. Right.
And because you get the love, the soul is going to be more ingrained, and you'll see it more consistently. Mm-hmm. Whereas the flesh is not as more intermittent, but the soul is a pattern
that
you pick up on. And that's
a
good thing. But that comes
to
knowing.
Amen. Right. And that's good. Y'all all hear that? That was really good stuff. Once you know them, you know, you spent time, you develop a relationship, you can kind of begin to see.
Remember, the gifts of the Spirit are both, they're transrational and they're situational. Now, everybody has a ministering gifts. This is what they're going to primarily do in the body of Christ. But every person, if you're born again, you have all the gifts of the Spirit resident in you. And they're supernatural, they're transrational, but they're situational. And so if God puts you in a situation, remember, they're gifts. So they're free. You don't have to earn them. You don't have to have been good enough, spiritual enough. You find yourself in a situation where you're dealing with a demonic, you're trying to discern, you just thank the Lord for the gift of discernment of spirit.
Amen.
And then trust what comes. You know, every time you move in the gifts of the Spirit, you're functioning as risking. But it's always, but remember, they're situational. You've got every one of them.
Amen.
You've been made complete in Christ. Baptism of the Holy Spirit just releases those things to have full expression. But you find yourself in that situation, you thank the Lord. See, demons come out by faith. The Christian life is by faith. The just live by faith. Demons come out by faith. And so you're operating in faith opens you up for all those things to come. You see, I would even say what Craig was talking about, the bonding prayer. I don't do as much as this as I used to in terms of sitting down with people. I'll do it a lot on the go. People, like yesterday, somebody came to me, was telling me there were some issues going on in their life, their family, and somebody said, go see Bishop.
Thank
you. Yep. And so I just looked at it, I said, somebody's put a curse on you guys. I said, there's a history connected to your husband, and there's a curse on you. They don't like your prosperity. And the Lord did some stuff, and it's going to be good. But at that point, on the inside, I'm thanking him.
Amen.
You know, when somebody offers you a gift, you don't beg, you don't plead, you go, thanks. You know, it's not by works. And just as you receive Christ Jesus, Lord, you walk in him. You received him by faith. And so I just said, thank you, Lord, for the gift of the sermon of spirits. So then you go with what's come.
Amen.
You risk that he's good. How much more will the Heavenly Father give the things of the Spirit to those who ask him? And so in that moment in time, I trust in what's coming to me. That's why I said to Jonathan the other day, Granberry, I said, Jonathan, you got a word of knowledge. I said, make one up. Because I believe the atmosphere of faith, whatever came out of him was God. You with me? Mm-hmm. And so that's a real issue that we have to operate by faith. And all the gifts are available to you. And you got to go for it. And you say, well, what if I miss it? Well, how will you know if you actually miss it? Because they didn't act right in response. That doesn't mean you missed it. But if you did miss it, so what? You get up and, you do it in love. You get up and go at it again.
Amen.
But every time I minister to somebody, you whisper. You don't have to hear it. You just kind of do it on your breath. Always. Whether I'm doing inner healing or deliverance, I bind up every spirit, not of the Holy Spirit, of your physical, spiritual, emotional person. I bind up every spirit, not of the Holy Spirit, of your physical, spiritual, emotional person. I bind every spirit of the Holy Spirit, not of the Holy Spirit, of your physical, spiritual, emotional person. And that binds those spirits.
Amen.
There are demons there. It binds them up for a little season so that you can deal with the other issues that are going on. Because most of the time, most demonic spirits, when there's inner healing and repentance is the key to inner healing and deliverance. When there's inner healing and repentance, they're just going to go.
Yep.
They have no nest to stay in. Now, here's the only rule. When you ask questions, you can't ask, like, where does God come from?
Amen.
Okay. It's got to be things where we at least have a shot at it.
Amen.
We might not be able to answer, but we at least can take a shot at it. Okay?
Yeah.
I've been in clergy meetings before, and it's kind of getting late, and then some really enthusiastic young clergy goes and stuff like that. Like, well, Bishop, can you tell us where God came from?
Yeah, we won't throw stuff out.
No, but I can't tell you what God's going to do to you if you ask any more questions. So go for it.
Hello. It was such a wonderful exercise to plumb into the depths of one's background and family line. And I'm doing two things at once. I'm mapping out my geogram while hearing your strategies for deliberate and healing. And having done such exercises before a few times, I want to say that God really, I want to testify that God really bears fruit from that homework and the study that you're inviting us to engage in. And that there is a flip side, that it's not, the focus is not only about releasing from the demonic and the blessing lockers and the evil and the diseases and inner healing issues that plague us, but the flip side will be that the beautiful anointings on our family lines and the beautiful anointings that God has resident within us, and the gifts will ensue and flow freely once those blocks are moved out of the way. So I just felt led to share that we look at the whole picture, not only removing the obstacles, but while we're removing the obstacles, so that we do it with joy and know that good will flood in the place of the blockage.
There's a place in the Song of Solomon, that the last chapter that says this. And it says, we have a little sister, and she has no breasts, which means she's not mature. She can't nurture others. She's still, you know, young believers are pretty much still about themselves. What shall we do for our sister on the day when she is spoken for? This is the bride speaking to the bridegroom, Jesus. If she is a wall, we will build her battlement of silver. If she is a door, we shall barricade her with planks of silver. In other words, if she's a wall, if she's come to a place where this believer is growing and living a separated life in the right way, a surrendered life, then she'll become useful in battlement and warfare. But if she's still a door, if she's kind of in the world, out of the world, still really immature, we're going to nail on that door planks of cedar. Cedar in the Song of Solomon always speaks about new creation. And he said, what do we do with a little sister that's not growing or not doing well? We don't reject them. We don't kick them out. We begin to draw forth a new creation. We plank up that door so that they don't go in and out in terms of flesh and back and forth, where they can live a more consistent, set-apart life for God.
Amen.
And so really all inner healing and all deliverance, to affirm what Flo, you just said, generation of Christ, is calling forth the new creation that's there. And so all inner healing and deliverance is removing all the nonsense that's keeping their new creation. You know, if all the fullness of deity is embodied in Jesus, and you have been made complete in Him, if you have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, if everything that pertains to life and godliness is already yours because you're in Christ, then everything you'll ever need to live a life, the above life, to live life abundantly is in you. And what deliverance and inner healing does, generation Eucharist, just removes the barriers. You know, it makes the highways, cleans the highway, the high places are made low, the low places raised up. But what you're doing is you're nailing planks of cedar.
Yep.
You're helping that person who desires to love God with all their heart to live in that life, to walk that out, because you're removing all the nonsense that's kind of that's keeping them back. That's why we're always looking for shortcuts. We've made deliverance and inner healing so complicated.
Amen.
You're just like, you're kidding me. It can't be this hard. And of course it isn't that hard.
Amen.
Like I said the other day, God calls us sheep, not because we're a spiritual rocket scientist.
Yep.
He doesn't play Easter egg hunt. Warmer, warmer, colder, no, almost, keep trying. He makes it really easy for us, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And so one of the things I say, be childlike. I'll tell this real quick story. When my oldest son was real little, me and my mother conspired to play a trick with him. And so we told him, we burned the edges of a brown bag, wrote these little directions like a map, put some money that had been burned, some change that had been burned, and we put it in the ground and said, we found this map, and there's a buried treasure in our backyard. He got so excited. He was about 6 years old. And so he was so excited. He followed all those things and did all this stuff, and he opened the ground up, found that treasure. He said, we were like, this is so fun. He goes, oh my gosh, we're rich, Dad. Now there'll be enough money to get a really good doctor so Mama can be healed. Boy, you're talking about feeling like a worm.
That's right.
But the deal was, he believed it. He believed everything we said. Little children that way.
Yeah.
Have the faith of a little child. In that moment, whatever he gives to you, what comes to you, trust it to him and go for it. And if it's not quite right, he'll straighten it out. He really is that big. When my little boy first started walking, and they first started stepping, I go, look, here's the deal, guys. Walk. If you fall, crack your head. That's your problem. No, I'm like, here. Okay, walk. Oh, I got you. Walk. That's the way he is. You know?
Amen. I actually do when I'm praying for people in an area. Once I deal with that area, if I'm dealing with rejection, then we take care of it. If there's something demonic, then I'll call forth a new creation in Christ.
Amen.
And like, to make it simple, we had this person recently. We thought it was the lady, but she actually sent her daughter, a teenager, from way far away to come. And we got in there, and within 2 hours, it was over. I mean, there's nothing else we could do. And they got so mad at us. You should have given her all day and the next day. Blah, 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 just chewing us out. We thought, well, dude, this wasn't that difficult. You know, we got in there, plugged into the Holy Spirit. He did the deal, and it was over with.
It's almost like overload. There's just too much stuff coming out. I've not gotten to the child.
you want that? Go ahead. You take this one. I'll take the hard ones.
Yes, you take it. I had this older couple in church years and years ago, and he said, you know, me and my wife have a great relationship because 35 years ago we made a decision how to get along. I would make, as the head of this household, all big decisions, and she would make all the little decisions. And he said, you know, in 35 years we've not had one big decision to make yet. And what's probably happened, she was 6 months pregnant.
Six weeks pregnant.
Probably what happened is his mother's anxiety attached itself to him. We've seen that happen before. We actually have a really good friend who has heart issues, and their heart issues that they've had to deal with for years, they finally got some real relief because it was a result when the mother got pregnant, she wasn't prepared. That happens a lot. And so what happens is the mother's anxiety or even the mother's anger or fear or embarrassment, all those things can attach in the child to the child. And so what you have likely is the fear and the anxiety of the mother got on that child, you know, and so if you, one of the things that I would definitely pray, as you pray general prayers, I would separate that child from my mother's anxiety, mother's fear, because if we as adults can be traumatized and be haunted by an event for weeks or even years, if we can experience post-traumatic stress as an adult, imagine what a vulnerable little child, and if their mother is extremely anxious in a moment or fearful or carries that even for a season, and that's a dramatic moment. Then, right. Well, and so many times physical is attached to mental. So I would definitely pray that for separation from the mother's anxiety and fear, you know, that in that trauma. It could cause autism. Well, it could actually cause it. That's not true about every person who has autism. It could actually be the root cause behind it.
Right.
Again, you hear what I said? I wouldn't say that about all people with autism. It could aggravate autism, but it could actually be the root cause behind that, just like it was her root cause behind her heart condition. That was the root cause.
And as you're praying for the separation of the girl, also go back, almost like if she was in the womb, and say, God, now put everything in her that you intended for her. We invite in your presence, and this is going to sound crazy, into that womb, as though she was back there, and this God would just pour it out.
You know, we talk about immune systems being weak and being vulnerable. Anything that's emotionally traumatic can create an atmosphere where the immune system of a human body becomes very vulnerable for things to get turned and twisted, for cells to be that definitely can happen. So the point being, you always probe, go after, you know, and then you can always ratchet it down and go after other stuff.
Amen. Amen. That's a good book.
Chris, did you have your hand up? Sterling.
He stood up. He's ready.
Essentially talking about the deliverance ministry as well as the demonic spirit. Can you tell us more about the aftermath and personal recovery?
Well, we usually go out and have a drink and do something.
It usually turns out really
good. Yeah, take a nap and that kind of thing. Oh, you're talking about them. You're talking about the people. No, what we do, see, one of the saddest things in the division of the church, you know, I use the word Catholic, I don't mean Roman Catholic, the church, the ancient church Catholic and the Protestant world, is that there's just a separation. There's just these things we could all use, like the whole issue of Eucharist.
Amen.
And I remember here, when there's such separation, like the African-American community and the white community, people in the church, there were real heroes on both sides that some of the people never met. And so it was just crazy. And so things like holy water. You'll get a holy water bath tonight at Eucharist. It's a powerful, powerful divine weapon that God uses. So for us personally, when we do ministry, we always do holy water. You know, and that's why we have the holy water thing back there. It's not just for show. It's not a religious thing. It is warfare. You know, so I always come in, do holy water. I pray for people, I do holy water. Because it's easy in Ghostbuster language to get slimed. And holy water is a wonderful unslimer.
Yeah. And you said aftermath too.
Are you talking about for the people who get ministry, Sterling?
Once, like if they get a demon cast off of them, then the new experience. Yeah, and you just, you know, again, you heal something like taking a tooth out. You got a hole. ask Jesus to come fill that place with the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit come and fill that place. And, you know, and just pray over them, that, and God will take care of that. And then sometimes you have to see if the person's had it for so long, you have to really, and then you start discipling them how to live without this anymore, you know. So sometimes it's a process. You know, usually a person gets a ministry, it's not over with, then I'll follow up with them with counseling and teach them how to walk in the Spirit and stuff like that. Because you're probably dealing with both. Like, you know, they've mentioned strongholds the other day. We all know what a stronghold is, a house of thoughts. And I always look at it like a castle or something. That's the house of thoughts. Well, the demonic spirit can come and live inside of that stronghold, you know. And once you get the resident out of there, now you got to pull down the stronghold, you know. And that's when, as Olivia said earlier, in the relationship, when you're ministering to them over a period of time, that God would begin to expose all the fearful thoughts that they have. And you replace it, you know. Basically, what you're dealing with that is their unbelief, you know, because fear is always tied into unbelief. And so you start speaking truth into that, and truth. And sometimes brick by brick, you take down the stronghold. Sometimes you just swoop it down. But usually a demonic spirit is housed inside of that stronghold, you know, in the traumatic event or whatever happens. Does that make sense?
You know, we talk about, you hear people, how do people lose their healing? That's a possibility. And one of the things we don't consider is, if you think of the whole realm, if it's true that 80 to 85% people who have demonic issues in their life, especially stronghold issues, is because of childhood trauma, and that's just true. It can just be divorce. It can be all kinds of things like that. So what you're going to have, a demon has to have a nest to live in. And so what you have is these layers. You have trauma. And as a result of the trauma, you have a sinful response. Because we have to remember that even if the child was abused, whatever, fear or anger or resentment and unforgiveness is still sinful. See? And so you have the trauma, you have the sin, and as that sinful attitude goes on, then you have this demonic thing will attach itself to it, it's drawn to that, and then it makes it that much worse, exacerbates it, and then you could also, as a result, it begin to affect a person's body. And so if you're going to get them free, they got to first repent of their sin, you know, and then secondly, you go after the wounded place in their heart. Mm-hmm. Just asking Jesus to come in, fill that place, touch that place, speak into their life. You know, Lord, just come and speak and touch that place, because Jesus is timeless. That's a present tense event to Christ. And neurosis is just frozen pain. And so people are still looking at things in the present tense and responding to things in the present tense because that pain never got healed. So they're interpreting reality. They're stuck there. Mm-hmm. You know, and so you ask the Lord to come minister healing in that place, that wounded place, so that there's no more nest, and they repent of their fallen response. You know, and then you don't usually have to cast anything out. They just go. Yeah. But then their physical healing, if they receive physical healing and you don't do those kind of things, the reason the physical thing attached many times is this comes back because the nest is still there. And those are some of the things that land in the nest. That's why I say, to me, I want to see people, if you're going to go to Zaxby's, also look at the lady behind the thing or the guy behind the thing and go, how are you doing? Any issues going on in your life I can pray about? And they may go, I'm depressed. And you go, how long have you been depressed? Well, off and on most of my life. And that's a demonic thing. And let me just say this to you. If you have depression all your life, and then you have a physical condition, and your physical condition gets healed, but the depression doesn't go away, you're still a miserable person. And eventually the physical thing will come back. But if you deal with a demonic depression or any inner healing stuff, we'll talk about it a little bit this afternoon too, those like little quick inner healing prayers, and they get set free from depression but don't get set free physically, life is still a hassle, but they can still be full of joy and peace. You understand what I'm saying? I'd rather be not depressed and not well physically than being physically well and depressed. The good news, we don't have to settle for that, right?
Amen.
But it's, we got to go after those things. This is a heart, and Livia's heart is to see the mentally ill, those who suffer, set free. And my heart, Craig's a counselor, Livia's a trained counselor, you know, but it's to put counselors out of business except for discipleship. We set you free in a moment.
Amen.
Now we're here to disciple you and put things in you to call forth a new creation.
Amen.
So, just before I got pregnant with the girls, with Abby and Andy, and before my sister got pregnant with her son, Andy, my dad was a gambler and an alcoholic, and he was in jackpot Nevada. He did gambling for 3 days, broke your money, didn't make it, and he really drank the whole time, found in his car, headed back to Idaho where he came and later lived, and he killed I find it interesting that within my sister and I both got pregnant within a couple of months of that, and you all know Abby's disability, my nephew is schizophrenic, and he was conceived within the same time period as Abby and Amber.
I think it's something we'll go after. You know? I mean, that's the point, is that you get this information. That's why in the five-step model, which was really, those of you who've been around a long time, that was Wimber's model. In the book Power Evangelism, Power Healing, in the early 80s, he wrote that stuff. But I can get a little bit sort of heavyweight. I mean, it's like, we got to go through this, you know, it's like, so, but in the interview, and I'll talk about this afternoon, you always want to ask the question, you know, what? When did it happen? When did it start? You know, how? What was involved? And then as you're praying for them, where? Where you at? Where's it at? Kind of thing. But you want to know what's going on. You want to know when it started, and you want to know how. What were the circumstances surrounding? And it can be a really help. And so we'll go after that. We've been out praying for Abby, and we'll certainly go at it.
Real quick, just say again what you did with the person.
I usually put a bag over my head and pray it go away.
when I had that going on, you know, when I just got down in their ear, one, you want to bring comfort to them, you know, and by saying to them, it's gone or it's not there anymore, you know, well, it was never there in the first place, so I'm not lying to them, but you just bring in comfort to them. You know, hey, it's over. Dude, you're set free. It's gone. Okay, now I can relax. You know, so you just want to, and the Lord will give you words at that time. But what you want to speak to them is something real positive, and it's gone or it's not there. You're okay. Settle down. And just pray the peace of Jesus on them. That's what I did. Lord, come bring your peace right now.
Remember, demons followed Satan in the fall, and Satan's issue was about pride. And so they love attention. And what Craig talked about early days, all these manifestations, because they love attention.
Yeah.
And they don't believe, especially men, they don't believe men will hang in there. That's why women are much better. It's always nice to have a woman in there with you, if you can, because they're tenacious. They won't give up. They've given birth. You know, if you can survive giving birth, you can do anything.
Amen.
But men have a tendency to go, and we learned this over the years, okay, it's done. It's not done because we're wanting out of there. You know, we want to get done with that thing. So you have to learn to hang in. And what we learned, too, over the years as we began to know our authority better, is that we just didn't put up with all the game plan, because it's all about attention and trying to wear you out.
Yeah.
Early days, the Lord lets it happen more because you learn more because you can see it. First time we had our Lazarus weekend, we did deliver us in our house, which don't do that.
No, never.
Don't let the devil set the stage. Sometimes you're in a situation you can't help it, but don't let him create the stage. You know, but we did. Everybody did this in their house, and I had not slept for 9 days. And so we go into this thing, and there's me, and there's Livia, and this other person. And there's this lady who's her husband's a Baptist pastor now, and she was sitting on our couch with her legs crossed, like Indian style. And the moment we started going after some ancestral stuff, she turned into like a lizard. like a reptile sitting there, and she turned green, her face like a lizard, her tongue was going out. And I'm like thinking, because I was an old hippie, I'm thinking, flashback, I'm having a flashback. And I haven't slept in 9 days, you know? And I'm like, oh my gosh. And then I looked at Livia, and Livia's like going, and the other lady's backing out of the room. So it's a cool story to tell, but I'd rather that not happen if I can get away with it. Because when we first got into this so many years ago, it was just wild. And people ask the question, in the Protestant world, they always tell you demons can't read your mind because they're chickens. Demons can read your mind. That's why we always cover our minds with the blood of Jesus. I'll tell you a cool story about that after lunch. So we cover our minds with the blood of Jesus. But I'm still wrestling with which one of those things are actually true. And we're sitting in this little bitty office ministering to this person, this lady who's demonic. Livia's there. I'm there. I don't know if somebody else is with us or not. And this woman started screaming. Then it turned into stop me in a scream. It was like an animal scream. And she didn't breathe like forever. Now, Livia is like, she gets closer like, it's okay. Game on. I'm sitting there thinking, Lord, if demons can't read my mind, because you don't want them to know you're afraid, right? So I'm thinking, but if I pee in my pants, will they know that I'm afraid? That's where I'm at. And so that's kind of where we came from. So back in those days, if something got really tough, we would just take Olivia and throw her in the room.
Yep.
Because she'll swing across hell on a string and spit the devil's eye. We had one person who were on the floor. All these men were trying to minister to her. She was lifting them up. You know, her throat would get really loud, real broad. Every time a demonic thing would come out, her throat would get like this. And she'd grow, you know, talk to this man's voice. My brother, who's a large guy, she picked him up off the ground while she's on the floor, picked him up like this. People were walking out of the door. They were leaving. One guy's toupee was like halfway back his head. And she stops breathing. Now, I'm already wigging out about this whole thing. I'm thinking, I'm not going to have in the newspaper tomorrow, woman found dead. And certain Livia's jumped on top of her going, she's just faking it. Not faking. What was the word you used? Oh, bluffing. The devil's bluffing. Just bluffing. And she's like going after it. And I'm like pulling Olivia off of her. And I'm going, I don't care if he's bluffing or not. This woman's not dying in my church. Sadly, I think that woman is somewhere still undelivered out there.
Right.
Huh? I know. We can tell you some fun stories, but it'll probably create more unbelief than it will.
About a quarter till.
All righty, I think we're done because we got to get dressed. All righty?
Sorry.
Well, we got time. It's 19 till. No, go ahead.
My daughter has scoliosis, and she did not have it when she was born. And her father and I divorced. And I believe it may have come in at that time. She was pregnant with her second baby this past year, and her back was hurting so bad.
Didn't hurt.
Yeah. Again. Let's swat.
No, didn't hurt. I think here's the thing about dealing with demonic. It's so important that you don't practice the presence of darkness.
Amen.
That your whole world isn't about demons.
Exactly.
Now, there are demons, if you read scriptures, it said, and Jesus healed, like Craig said, and cast out many spirits. There's a lot of people who have demonic activity. And the new creation handles a lot of that. But you don't need to be practicing the presence of darkness or you'll be consumed. God wins. Resurrection, God
Amen.
Wins. They're not co-equals. You know, we really do have to stop.
We
have to go get vested and get ready for you.
I've got a word I've got to share. I was given a revelation while you were doing
Yeah.
Rehearses, and I don't think it's something I don't think everybody has seen. Just because you're being the same as following everybody else is doing, you can be societally cursing.
Amen.
Okay, let's get some coffee or whatever.